Well, we're here at the Southwest Iowa Renewable Energy Ethanol Plant near Council Bluffs, and we're talking with Kevin Ross from Underwood, Iowa, just a few miles from here. And Kevin is here speaking for Iowa Corn. He's also on the National Corn Board. And Kevin, we want to talk to you about the RFS situation. Big meetings reportedly coming up on Monday again in Washington, where they're going to start to hash out this whole RINs E15 RVP waiver situation. Talk about why this is so vitally important to you as a corn grower.
Well, you know, ethanol in general is one of our largest markets, as you know, for corn. And anything that we're doing, whether it's trade related or you know, detriment to the RFS, anything like that, that's causing a concern with corn markets. You know, my job as a corn board member is to be watching out for the broader industry. And I can tell you these times right now that we're in are very concerning with some of these discussions that are going on. Anytime you're talking about a waiver of any type to a RIN, it's going to hurt the corn market. So we are not in favor of any type of a RIN cap or waiver. Those are things that we know are going to hurt corn farmers and it'll hurt agriculture in general and hurt the Midwest and in broader areas as well.
You would like to see the waiver for E15, though, on RVP?
Yeah, that's a waiver we would like. You know, E15 is we've been trying to get that that RVP waiver for quite a while, and it's really it's a common sense type deal that should have been done long ago. You know, the 1 pound waiver has been there for E10 for a long time. There's no reason that this shouldn't be in the same category as E15. It's a clean fuel and should be used by, you know, any cars that are 2001 and newer. We should have no problem using E15, and we ought to be using a lot of it. So hopefully we can get that moving forward. It'll also add more RINs to this market. That's one of the things that we know will also add pressure to the RIN market and therefore bring down that cost. And that's what the refiners are looking for.
The folks on the oil side, it's kind of like this bankruptcy at the Philadelphia plant. It's kind of like they see an opening here to try to make some changes.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people have heard a little about that plant, but a lot of poor decisions were made. It seems to me like it's being used as an example out there of what not to do in a lot of cases. But you really, if you take a step back and look at it from what they could have done for ethanol and infrastructure and use some of their dollars to add those things, you know, they could be successful as well and could be working within this current RFS and actually might have had a completely different outcome for that plant and those employees.
Now, I know you're also an investor in a biodiesel plant, right? Is that Western Iowa Energy, you
yeah,
told me?
Yep.
So is this a factor for biodiesel as well?
Yeah, so for Western Iowa Energy and all biodiesel in general, anytime you're, you know, making changes to the RFS, it's a concern. You know, we don't need changes to ethanol or the biodiesel side of this. Now, they're in different renewable identification number buckets. There's the D4 and D6 RINs, and that's, you know, it's a system that it's not super easy to figure out, but at the same time, you know, as a collective whole, the RFS works really well. And so we want to make sure it doesn't harm biodiesel. Obviously, there's corn oil that's going into biodiesel as well. And a lot of the animal fats we've used at Wall Lake to create diesel fuel, and those are obviously being fed corn. You know, these markets, whether it's biodiesel or ethanol, they're intertwined, they're together. Renewable fuels and that standard itself is the key piece that makes this whole system work. And really, it's good policy. I've said it before. It's one of the best policies out there, I think, that Washington has ever passed. And that's not just for the Midwest. That goes for the coast, for the air quality and all the jobs that it's created. It's a green policy that has really helped rural American agriculture in general and lots of other people.
So as a corn grower and a soybean grower, you know, how important has this been since it was passed in
2007 was the last version of it. And you know, it's been extremely important. You've seen markets took an immediate rise, you know, after that. And obviously we had a steep curve up, but markets have adjusted. This is a mature market in a lot of cases for the way it works with you know, ethanol and the byproducts that go out there. There's a lot of the feedlots, you know, rely on these byproducts, co-products, if you will, distillers coming out of these places and corn syrups, different things like that. There's a lot of pieces of this puzzle that have changed agriculture for a positive, in a positive way. And we've got to protect that. You know, we're in a volatile time right now, and there's no reason we should be messing with a standard that's working well and helping to create jobs versus taking them away and hurting agriculture.
Yeah, and you mentioned jobs, and we're here at this plant here today, which I think I heard was 65 employees that are probably, you know, receiving some pretty nice salaries here. So, I mean, that's another part of it that people don't often think about is the economic driver or engine that it is for agricultural communities.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can, you know, speak for this plant. I've hauled corn here, and we've pull distillers grains. We fed them to our own cattle and like I said, corn syrup in Wall Lake. I can speak to that as well. We've got 28 employees up there that come to work every day. These are skilled employees. They're good jobs for rural Iowa. And then we have trucks going in and out of there all day long. It's amazing to see the other side jobs, you know, when you create improvements to your plant, those things that you're spending money, you're creating jobs, whether it's the steel guys coming in to build new tanks, it's expansion on your rail, new concrete being poured, different things like that. And you're upgrading facilities all the time. It makes economic sense and dollars churn.